If you want to open your Bibles to Revelation 12. Revelation 12, beginning in verse 10. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, "Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God, in the authority of his Christ. For the accusers of our brethren, who accuses them before our God night and day, has been hurled down. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury, because he knows that his time is short." Think about what that passage says. All right, it says that we have a devil that is after each and every one of us in this room, each and every one of us on this planet. And yet, we know the overcomer, right? The overcomer is the authority of his Christ, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ in it. So we can overcome the enemy in it. But it is a matter of turning to him in that. And part of the way we do that, I think, is by listening to testimonies of those who the Lord has touched, that their lives have been changed. And that, in large part, is what this morning is all about. Andrew, would you come on up? Andrew, before we get started, why don't you tell folks, tell folks a little bit about Loving Hands. I think most people here know about Loving Hands because we've done this fairly often, but share just a little bit about the ministry.
Sure thing. So who doesn't know about Loving Hands? All right, we got like six people. Hallelujah. That's good. That's a good thing that you guys know, man. We want to be known. We want everyone to know that we're doing the Lord's work, that we're working for his kingdom, that we're working for him. For those who don't know, we are a free 2-year discipleship ministry program for men who struggled. I always say struggled because we find out later on that we're free from alcoholism, we're free from addiction, we're free from the bondage of sin, and we're learning that we have something new to look forward to, and that's liberty. Something that we did not know about.
Is there an amen out there, guys?
Come on, let's get an amen. Come on, somebody. That's right. We've been around since 1984. Just so happens that's the same year that I was founded. Hallelujah. So we're tied together. So we've been around for almost 40 years. Almost 40 years. I've been around for 39 years. The ministry 49. 40. I can't even do my math. We don't do math in the ministry, unfortunately. So we were founded in 1984. Pastor Wendell was our founder. He was going in and out of the jails, and he was ministering to the men just like I get to do, just like Denaris gets to do. And he noticed something. He noticed that the same men that it seemed like they were sincerely giving their lives over to Jesus Christ were coming back into the jails. And Pastor Wendell, he consulted the Lord. Lord, what do I have to do to help these men not go back to jail? And the Lord said, they got to be discipled. They got to be discipled. So he invited a man over for dinner, and Pastor Wendell had a few daughters in the house, and the Lord put it on his heart, asked this man to sleep over, see if he can sleep over. And, of course, he had to ask his wife, Miss Nancy, because you ain't going to just let no felon sleep over your house with a couple daughters without the wife saying yes. How many people, I'm going to steal one from you, how many people would let a guy fresh out of jail sleep over at the house? Okay, yeah. Come on, somebody. That's what I'm talking about. We got two in the house. Hallelujah. He let Miss Nancy reluctantly allowed that first man to sleep over, and we've been sleeping over at Pastor Wendell's house ever since. You know? Hallelujah, right? Since the beginning of Loving Hands, we've expanded. We have a campus in Palmetto, we have a campus in Dade City, and we have a campus now in Georgia that's been up and running for about, I'd say, 180 days. Men are coming in there, and they're being freed in Georgia now. So the Lord is expanding. Hallelujah. That's good stuff. Yeah, you won't keep going? Keep going? Okay. So my name is Andrew Kilby, and I'm a graduate of Loving Hands Ministries. I like to do this. My man given title is ministry intern, but I am in fact just a servant of the Lord, and whatever He wants me to do, that's what I do. I like to always just acknowledge what the Lord says about me, not so much men, but the Lord. And the Lord said, "I am a servant, just like He was when He came." And that's what I am. Whatever I'm asked to do is what I do, and whatever the Lord wants me to do is what I do. And right now, He's got me in Loving Hands Ministries to do life with these men. And we're here for testimonies. You gave that beautiful scripture. I first heard that from Denaris Mason. I want you to stand up, man, because I just want to honor him real quick before I forget. This is Denaris Mason. He's our resident director. He's also about to get married in 36 days. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. You hear, oh, he's getting married, and everybody gets married. It's a big, but for a man to go through where we've gone through, where we've come from, to hear that and to see that, our resident director who has done this program, who has been in the horrible pit, who has been in the miry clay, is now about to get married. He's about to be a spiritual head of a new household. That gives us hope. That gives us something tangible to take in our hands and say, okay, the Lord really does just transform us, and to see that is inspiring for us. So I just want to just honor him, give him praise. Come on, somebody. That's right. Hallelujah. That's good. It's good. You know, I have my daughter here, and I have my stepfather here, and I want to just honor them as well. I'm nervous. I'm not usually nervous, but she's all watching me, and I've never done a testimony service. And again, you know, this is something that is a testimony, because she wasn't in my life. I signed the rights away about 6 years ago, and I didn't think that I was worthy to be in her life. I didn't think that I had a chance. But when I stepped out of the picture and allowed God to step into my picture, things happened. She is in my life. She's sitting right there. So I know God is good. God is good. But this isn't about me. This isn't about Denaris. This is about the testimonies, because we want to gain ground in the kingdom. We want to gain ground in the kingdom of darkness. We want to shine light all up in that. And how we do that is through the brother of the Lamb, word of the testimonies. So I want to get them some testimonies cracking. Yes, sir.
Your daughter has a wonderful smile.
And yes, she does.
Unfortunately, everybody doesn't get two quick things. Right?
Yes, sir.
One, we all know who the change agent is, right?
That's right.
We all know who the change agent is. And what did you say your job title was?
I am servant.
No. Your official title.
Ministry intern.
Ministry intern. You know what? That's all of our job titles.
Come on.
Is ministry intern. We're all ministry interns.
That's
and
right.
We're all supposed to do what this man does. Supposed to listen to his voice and then do it.
That's right.
So and you want to you lead on from here.
Right on. So I'm gonna have a testimony. We're gonna do a testimony, and the first person I'm gonna have is my brother Corey. Come on, somebody.
Good morning, Home Fellowship. My name is Corey Sayre. Just bear with me. I'm a little bit nervous on the microphone still. I've been with the ministry now about 4 months. Thank you. I was born and raised here in Sarasota. I'm 34 years old now. Sorry, 35 years old. I just turned 35. My story really begins when I was about 10, 12 years old. My father left the house. He chose drugs over me and my mom. And I started looking to the wrong people for the wrong things. And by the time I was 17 and got out of school, I was fully addicted to marijuana, spending all my money on it. Even though I was working, I never got anywhere in life. I never saved any money, never did anything, never had any aspirations. When I was 24, I ended up moving to college with my brother up in Oklahoma to study chemistry. And I did well for about a year, left the drugs behind. But when things got hard, all I knew to turn to in my mind was drugs. And I ended up getting addicted to methamphetamine up there. I lost everything I had worked for up to that point. Came back down to Florida, stayed clean for another 3 or 4 years. And ended up falling back into drugs again, living with my father up in Bradenton. And I just figured that was going to be life. You know, I was just facing homelessness before I found the ministry. And I gave my life to Jesus in the back of my car about 5 months ago at this point. I had COVID. had an ear infection. I was trying to get clean off the drugs, and I was just losing my mind. I said, Jesus, please help me. And I felt the calmness, the peace of the Holy Spirit come upon me, got me into the hospital, got rid of the fever. I couldn't cure with the over-the-counter stuff. And throughout that time, he answered several of my prayers. I knew it was God. And he led me back into the church, and I found these guys here, Loving Hands Ministry, in the church. And right away, they accepted me into the program. And my first day there, I like to tell a little story. My first day there, I got there at a class called Intercessory Prayer. And what we do is we lift others up before ourselves. We lift up people in the community that need prayer. And it came my turn to pray. And I would just froze up. I didn't know how to pray. And you'd think, living with a bunch of guys, they might make fun of you or poke at you or this and that. But what happened was they all raised up, got out of their seats, and laid hands upon me and prayed with me. And just really welcomed me into the family. And I can't get over that, man. It changed my heart right then and there. And it's a really great program. The past about 100 days that I've been in there, 120 days, I've had 3 hot meals a day. I've had a bed to sleep in. Done chores all each and every day, my own laundry, just living a normal, upright life through God and developing a relationship with God. And it's completely changed my life. And I can't thank these people enough. I can't thank the Lord enough for what He's done for me. And with that, I'll leave you with my scripture verse. It's James 1:22, the verse that led me onto this walk, and that's, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Thank you, Home Fellowship.
My favorite part of doing this, and always has been, is the hug after the testimony. I love it. I love it. And then now I have the opportunity to be able to brag on my brothers. And I remember that day where Corey froze up in intercessory prayer. I wasn't in there, but I had men come to me because I was in a position where I was in the office, and they were like, hey, what do we do? He didn't pray. And I said, man, let's pray with him, pray for him, and the Lord is going to break that fear, because it was just fear, And we know that there is no spirit of fear, but of love and of sound mindness, right? And I've seen Corey break through little mini strongholds of fear that have just intertwined in his life. And every day he overcomes a little bit more. And I always say, like, a chain link falls, or a block out of that stronghold falls down every day. And we get to see that. And it's just amazing. And you're doing good, brother. You're doing so good. Faith over fear. Hallelujah. A little bit about our structure, just real quick. They say that we're like the Bible boot camp. Like, we are a difficult structure. This is not easy. 2 years. You hear 2 years and you're like, what? 2 years? But in that 2 years is extreme structure. I mean, we are getting up at 6:15 every morning, and you have 10 minutes to get ready. And how they're getting up, it's not like a Disney movie where all these little birds come in and help you make your bed and do all these different things. It's lights on, and then bam, you're getting ready. You got 10 minutes to be out there. You got to be doing push-ups. You got to be doing sit-ups. That's our wake-up. There is no caffeine. That was a blessing for the men to be able to have some coffee today, because they don't get that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that's how we wake up, is by doing push-ups and sit-ups. I know it doesn't look like that I've been doing that, because I haven't, because I don't have to anymore. Hallelujah. I'm doing spiritual push-ups and sit-ups. And we have multiple classes a day. We have two in the morning where a teacher comes in, a pastor comes in, somebody pours into us, teaches us the Bible. Total, we're 6 to 7 hours of worship a day, whether it be through musical worship or just worshiping the Lord in Bible reading, whatever it may be. We are in the Word at least 6 to 7 hours a day, every day. After the two classes that come in, we have a class where we're memorizing 3 scripture verses every 10 days, and we're doing a faith-based book report every 10 days. I think it's a total of like 39 or 40 books by the time they're done just their first year. I can't even tell you how many scripture verses it is, because, again, we don't do math well. At least I don't. But we're memorizing the Word. We're getting it in us, and that's changing our lives. That's renewing our minds. We do work projects. We do rec. We do life together, ultimately. We go on many outreaches. We help in the community. We serve. We're learning how to not live for ourselves, but live for Christ. And He said He came to serve, not to be served. And that's what we're doing. I'm going to start with another testimony. And this is my brother Mike Hudson. Come on, baby. It's your time. It's your time. Come on.
All right, good morning, everybody. God is good. He took me from the hood. I wish the devil would. I crushed the devil's head real quick. Yeah, my name's Michael William Hudson, and I'm born and raised from the Washington, D.C., Baltimore, Maryland area. And I've been a yo-yo. And I've been in Loving Hands Ministries for 52 days. Today make 52 days. Yeah, praise God. I'm a little jittery from the coffee, so I got to use the restroom. So y'all forgive me. Pray for me. But yeah, you know, I lived for the devil my whole life, you know. And I grew up in a dysfunctional family. You know, I never had no father around. You know, my older brothers were always doing their thing. And my mom, she was always in mental institutions, so I grew up on the streets, you know. So at the age of 10 years old, I started, you know, using drugs, PCP, you know, weed, acid, all the above, you name it, I did it, you know. And I was strung out, you know. And by the age of 21, I was already, an addict, an alcoholic, you know. I got into a fatal car accident, and my homeboy, he was driving. I was the passenger. He hit a tree, and I got shot through the windshield, and the car got crushed, and he died. And I woke up in a helicopter the first time I got bay flighted, and I broke my neck and back, and I was in a body cast for 13 months. Yeah, so I got hooked on the pain pills, and I was already an addict, so, you know, and then just everything went downhill from there, you know. You know, I was a liar, a cheater, a thief, you know. Me and my fiance at the time, when I was in my 20s, you know, she had two abortions, but I wasn't saved back then, so I didn't know abortion was that bad, so. It was just a road to destruction, you know. I was in the gang life, you know. I got shot in the back of my neck. Yeah, I could keep going on about the past, but, you know, that just haunts me, you know. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus, so. In my 20s, I came to Florida on vacation, and this is a true testimony. Came to Florida on vacation, left on probation, back on violation, to incarceration. And I was sitting in the Port Manatee jail for the second time when I got extradited out here down south. And Loving Hands was coming up in the jails. And I was like, man, my man Raul and Marshall and the old program director, Joe Hamlin, they were coming in there. And they were like, man, I got to do, you know, they planted the seed in my heart, you know. And I filled out the application. And I came to Loving Hands, you know. And it's not easy, but God is working on me and his grace, you know. My brothers all right here. They lift me up, you know, and I know they've been praying for me. And then the Lord brought me here, and I'm blessed, you know. I'm excited to see what he's got for me. And in Jesus' name, I'm staying. I'm not finna leave. So my scripture verse for y'all is Psalms 34:18. It says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." God bless y'all. Thank you.
Wow, you didn't fumble nothing. That was amazing. That was amazing, and hey, that's just gain more ground for the kingdom of God right there. Come on, that's what I'm talking about. That's what it's all about. It's not a coincidence that we're here. There's not a coincidence that we were called in this ministry. There's not a coincidence that when we go to testimony services and somebody hears a testimony like that, somebody wants to come into the ministry. Or we're praying for somebody on this piece of paper and lives are changed. There's not a coincidence that we're here. There is just not. This is all God ordained. This is all the sovereign hand of God moving. How many testimony services have we been to where we prayed for a man on that sheet and he ends up being in the seat right here instead? I'm one of them. You know it, and you know it, right? And you know it because you prayed for him. You prayed for me, and all these men prayed for me. It's a beautiful thing that when we go to a testimony service, we've had ones where men's mothers had come up and they are praying for their son and we lay hands on her, and a week later that man is in this program and his life is changed forever and he's doing God's work, and it's a beautiful thing. And this is a man that's going to help facilitate that change in other men's lives, and that's what it's all about. And I just thank you for that. It reminds me of a scripture verse. I'm going to be real quick with it. It's not a scripture verse. It's a lot of scripture, but I'm a quick reader. As bad as I am with math, I'm better with reading. Hallelujah. But your testimony, it just reminded me of the scripture. And I've been wanting to read this at a testimony service, and this is the time. God is God's time, amen. So it's Psalms 107:1-8, and it says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Has the Lord redeemed you? Then speak out. Come on, somebody. Tell others he has redeemed you from your enemies. For he has granted the exiles from many lands, from east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in the wilderness, lost and homeless, hungry and thirsty. They nearly died. Lord, help, they cried in their trouble. And he rescued them from their distress. He led them straight to safety, to a city where they could live. Let them praise the Lord for his great love and for the wonderful things he has done for them. And that's what we're doing. We are praising him for pulling us up out of that horrible pit. And I just want, somebody else needs to cut up here. Come on, you. Let's praise the Lord, man. I want to hear more redemption. Hallelujah. This is Jason.
Good morning, good morning. My name is Jason Carter. I'm from the Pensacola area. And let's see, I'm 42 years old, so I got a lot to tell you, but I got to keep it short. Like me, short, you know. Let's see, let me start back. I come from a broken home. My parents separated when I was young. And so I moved down here to Florida with my mom, and she passed away when I was 8, 9 years old. So then I had to move back in with my dad, and it was a tough life. He was a military man, and it's a lot of physical abuse and stuff like that. I didn't last very long in the house. I was out by 14 on my own in the streets, you know, living in the dugout, sleeping where I could, you know, breaking in people's houses, whatever. I was doing whatever I had to do to survive, you know. I had an older brother, you know, so I was introduced to the drugs and the gangs, and you know, I moved. I became very good in that, you know what I mean? So I had 2 houses, 6 cars. I had a restaurant, you know what I mean? I lost it all, man. You know, I got arrested. I've been in and out of jail since I was 14 also. So, you know, in this, I lose stuff and then I can build it back up. I do it on my own, you know what I mean? I think I'm in control, but I'm not in control. God's in control, you know? So I'm figuring this out now, finally. Took a long time, you know, learned the hard way. But, you know, my brother also, I met this guy, you know, God puts people in your life, you know what I mean, to help you. And he put my brother in my life. He snuck me in the house when I was a kid, you know. And after about 2 weeks of sleeping on the floor, his mom was like, who's this kid on the floor, man? He's got to get out of here. Blah, blah, blah. He's got to go home. Well, she found out the information, and I couldn't go home. I had nowhere to go. And so they accepted me into the family, and they adopted me. So, you know, but then it was strange to me. So I left, you know, because I went back to what I knew, you know. I had to get out there. I had to do my own thing, be in control. And I wind up getting in more trouble. Anyway, through life, you know, been involved in drugs, you know, I got kids, I got 3 boys, and, you know, my son's mom, she also was involved in drugs, but she passed away, she OD'd and died last year, so that was a big deal. So I was on my own, raising the kids, and then my son got diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, and I was working 3 jobs, I was trying to do the right thing, and not selling drugs, and so I lost all my work, because I had to stay in the hospital with him and all that stuff. I didn't really have support, so again, I went back to what I knew. You know what I mean? I knew how to sell drugs. I knew how to make money. I knew. Well, in that, you know, in that process, I also kind of OD'd myself. And I had this vision, you know what I mean? Like, the demon come up to me. He told me I was going to go to hell, you know? At that time, the sky just splits open, right? I got 2 clouds that come out. And I'm like, what is going on? It's crazy. And one of those clouds spoke to me and said that it's not my time, that Caleb needs me. And that voice that came out of that cloud was my son's mom. So as I come back into myself, you know, it's not my time. I just bust out bawling, crying. And the next morning, my mom and my brother call me on the phone and tell me they want me to go to 11 Hands. Well, my brother's also a graduate of 11 Hands. He came right out of prison, right to 11 Hands. And now he's building the houses. You know, he's got his own business. He's doing very well. You know, he's got his kids back. Restoration. So immediately I accept. I knew it was God's calling in my life to come here because I need back what the devil took from me, restoration. And through Loving Hands, man, like Lester, you know, the love and stuff that all these teachers come, I'm getting like this intimate relationship I've never had with God. You know, I've always believed, but I've never had an intimate relationship. And I'm able to learn and build on that now. And I just can't wait to see what God's got in store for my life, like my brother. You know, he's a living example. You know, he knows he was in there with him, you know what I mean? So it's just I'm just excited to have a family of good people that I can trust and not, you know what I'm saying, all bad people that you got to watch your back. So I'm through with that life. So I'm just, you know, thank y'all. I just want to lead off with my scripture verses. Philippians 1:12 is everything that's happened to me has happened to me to advance the gospel. And I kind of want to change everything that's happened to us has happened to advance the gospel. And thank y'all very much. Appreciate it.
I love Jason. That's my... That's my mini me. We went to the we went to the DMV, and I call it the DMV because I'm from Jersey. That's what we call it there. Y'all call it tax collector's office and the driver's license. And I'm like, ooh, I don't even like the first time they're like, oh, we gotta go to the tax collector's office. I'm like, that sounds like trouble to me. So anyway, we go there and I had to go sit. They only let you sit in one chair, so that Jason's behind me. And I'm like, this is my stunt double. This is my stunt double. We had a good time, you know, because we're doing life together. And you know, when Jason shares his testimony, and it just reminds me of how much power there is in surrender. When we just surrender, all of us, and we just let God do what God does, there's power in that, and your life changes. And you know, like, we have struggles in the ministry. We have personal struggles. I lost my mother in the ministry. It was tough. We have losses. There's things that happen. But God helps carry us through that. And I've seen that in Jason, and it's inspiring, even for a graduate, even for a program director. We see these men surrender and allow the Lord to take charge of their lives and bring them peace in just a chaotic situation. And that's what he's done in Jason's life. And we get to see that, and it's inspiring, you know. Just keep on, baby. Keep on. You're doing amazing. It's just, it really is inspiring to see a man just surrender like that. Come on, that's right. That's right. So we are not like other rehabs, as if you haven't noticed. We are doing life together. We're cooking turkeys the wrong way. I wasn't there for that, but I heard about it. They're like, why is this turkey so hard? Because you're cutting into its backbone. That's why. we're a bunch. I mean, we are big men, and we are going all out hunting Easter eggs, because whoever gets the most gets a prize. And then the golden one's up in a tree, and I'm not a tree climber, so I think it's not fair. I'm like, why aren't they putting them on the ground for the no-climbing people? But we're not going to talk about it. So they're up in trees, swinging around, finding golden eggs and silver eggs, and we're just doing life together, just like Jesus and his apostles. Jesus didn't come up and say, hey, pray this sinner's prayer, and then walk away. No, they did life together. They lived a life together through the ups and through the downs. That's what we're doing. And we're allowing the Word of God and His Holy Spirit to minister to us through that. And that's just been incredible. How much time do I have, Pastor Gary? Huh? Oh, really? He said 20 minutes. Whoa. All right. So I'm going to have another testimony I'd like my brother John to share. Come on, baby.
How you guys doing? My name's John. I'm 34. I'm from Charlotte County, born and raised. God is good. He's restoring a lot of things in my life right now that I never imagined. I spent 13 years in addiction, dealing with opiates, fentanyl, prescription pills. I've overdosed 14 times, legally dead 14 times. So when I say he's got a plan, God's got a plan, because he's brought me back every time. And the last time was early September of last year. I spent 21 days in a coma. And I woke up, and, you know, the first question the nurse asked you, do you know where you're at? I'm in a hospital, obviously. And I couldn't get it out of my head. I was just like, there's got to be more. I got to do something different. And I could only remember one phone number, and it was my cousin, so I called her. And the first question she asked, do you believe in God? I said, yes. She's like, all right, get out of the hospital, and I got somewhere for you to go. And so within a week, I had to learn to walk, talk, and eat all over again. They did a tracheotomy right here. I've got the scar, and it is not something pleasant at all. And so I get out of the hospital, and I get brought to Loving Hands. And I could barely hold my head up. I could barely talk. I could barely walk. And but I was there. I made it there. She made sure I got there. And he's just been working so many wonders, because, I mean, I played with a fire where I should have got burnt. But now I have a fire inside me for the Lord. And just, you know, I burnt bridges with my family, all of my family, and he's slowly restoring it. I now talk to my mother, my cousins in my life. I mean, my dad's side of the family and my mom's side of the family actually had Thanksgiving together, and I didn't even know it because of me being at Loving Hands and getting right with God and fully surrendering. I mean, at our banquet, I was a door greeter, and my whole family walked past me because they didn't even recognize me. I mean, my mother never seen me in a suit and tie before, and she started tearing up immediately. And so just having that back in my life, and he's slowly restoring things. I mean, God's been so good. I haven't had a smile in 15 years. I can smile for once and be proud of it. So with that, I'm going to leave you my scripture verse. It's James 1:12. Blessed is the man that perseveres under trial, for he has stood the test and received the crown of life that God promised to those who loved him. Thank you.
That's good. I like he stole the story. I like telling about how his family walked right by him. I thought it was hilarious. I said, man, if that isn't just a picture of being a new creation, you know, that I don't know what is. And God always gives us those little signs and wonders that sometimes we miss them. We got to keep our eyes open and our ears open. But it's good. This man here, has a willing heart. You know, he wants to serve. He loves. If you got a car, he wants to help you fix it. If there's something wrong with your car, I mean, I've seen him help every guy in here that has a car. You know, he wants to help you, and he can. God has blessed us with. We got men that can build anything out of wood. We got guys that can do phenomenal mechanic work. We got guys that can cook. We got guys that can tell other guys what to do real good. You know, we got it all. We got it all. The Lord has just blessed us with these things. You know what I mean? I'm good at, you know, emailing Pastor Gary. That's what I do. I email people. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord for that. But, you know, like I said, we're not like other rehabs. We're fully sustained on the body of Christ. It is because of you guys that our doors have been open for free for 40 years. It is because of you guys that will remain open free. And not with government assistance, because government assistance wants to take the word out of the program. And if the word is taken out of the program, there's no point in having a program, because that is the program. The word is what gives us that renewal. The word is what gives us life. So we just need givers, you know. We need your prayer. We need just a giving heart. We have here at the table. The first thing that I'm going to say is please sign that intercessory prayer sheet. I had the gift from God. After a while, we got this box, and this is, we fill it up with these things. After a while, we can't fit no more in the box. So we have to clear the box out. And I was like, something told me I was doing the chapel chore. Something told me, look in the trash. And I looked in the trash, and I found my name on that piece of paper. And I was able to give my mom her prayer back. Signed, sealed, delivered, and answered. And I can't tell you how powerful that was probably for her. You know? Hallelujah. Amazing. So please sign that prayer sheet and let us pray for you. Let us pray for a family that is struggling, a family member that is struggling. We all know somebody that's struggling with sin. We all know somebody that's got an addiction problem. We all know somebody that drinks too much. We all know somebody that needs prayer. Let us pray for them, please. The Lord hears it. We love to do it. And we are righteous men. You know what I'm saying? Come on. I'm gonna do one more. This guy's like, he's knocking back and forth. He's ready. He's ready. I can see it. He's ready to give his testimony. I'm going to let Big Matt, he's one of the men that we was praying for on that sheet of paper. And I'm going to let him share his testimony. Come on, baby.
I'm Matthew. I'm 25 years old. I'm from Washington State. I slipped into an addiction when I was 12 years old, although I was brought up in a household where my family cared and loved for me. I just found the pleasure of the world and the drugs and all this. I started using hard drugs when I was 12 years old. I was in addiction for 10 years. Done the majority of my adult life in prison. I was that person that also got released directly from prison to Loving Hands Ministry, and they took me straight in, and it's just been such a blessing since. I've got to visit my family, my mom, who at one point was every night wondering, has that worry, that wonder in her mind if she's going to get that call that her son was killed in a bad drug deal, if her son overdosed, if her son was just not going to make it through the night. And she has comfort. She has peace now knowing where I am at. I've been clean from the hard drugs for almost 2 years now. And I was in active use. Like the enemy really had his hands on me. I was doing more drugs than I would ever even like to imagine to see again. But since that, God's just restoring my brothers with me. My brother just had children that I'm going to get to be a part of their life. You know what I mean? He just came and saw me yesterday. I had a visit yesterday. And my brother's such, he's a servant. You know what I mean? He came and he wanted to just help the ministry out. Well, yeah, I'm going to come for your visit, and we're going to work on something at the ministry. But, you know, it's awesome. It's just such a blessing. And since being here, you know, when I came to the ministry, I didn't know anything about the Word of God. I'd never read the Bible before I got here. And I came in, you know, and I was also that person on a prayer sheet. And I came in my first time in intercessory prayer. This is how God, I started like, God, I need you to reveal yourself to me. You know what I mean? My first day in intercessory prayer, one of the guys is like, his name's Matthew. We've been praying for you for like the last 8 months to come. And you know, it happened. And just since then, you know, God's done such great things in all of my brothers' lives. We've seen so many miracles. We've seen so many moves of God in this ministry. We get to go out and serve and just see God's grace abound in people's lives. And God's mercies renew every morning for new men that come through the door. And it's so wonderful to see what God can take somebody from addiction like myself that had lost all hope, had lost everything. I lost everything. My family didn't want me in their lives. My friends, I didn't have any. They were all drug dealers. And just to see God take me from that and give me my family back, give me love back, give me hope back, give me peace in what I've done because I am forgiven. We are all forgiven. So it's just such a wonderful thing. The scripture verse I'd like to leave you with is Psalms 1, verses 1 through 3. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the paths of sinners, nor sits in the seats of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth fruit in season, whose leaves also shall not wither, and all he does shall prosper. Thank you.
Awesome. And this is somebody that didn't really know the Word of God at all. He didn't really crack open the Bible, and this man is quoting multiple verses, and he's hungry. Every Monday we have request slips. Every Monday I get a new request slip for a different translation of the Bible. This man's probably got a stack of Bibles this high. And he reads them all, and that's a beauty. Hey, I'm gonna keep them coming as long as you keep on reading them things. You know what I mean? It's good stuff. You know, man. You know, just leaving it. I am truly blessed to be able to do life with these men, not just with these men, but just with their families. I get to witness just about on a daily basis the reconciliation of God in their lives. I get to see men restored to their daughters. I get to see men restored to their sons. I get to see families put back together again. And I get to see all this by God's hand and not ours, because they can't do nothing. They're in this ministry, they're in the structure, and they just get to witness it too. God is out there doing things. You know that song Waymaker, where it's talking about he's always working. Even when we don't see him working, he's always working, and he is working in every man's life every single day, and I get to witness it. I don't need no money. I don't need nothing, because that is fulfilling enough for me. That's all I need. That's why I'm there. I am there to witness what the Lord is doing and be part of it. Somehow, some way, and it is truly a blessing. Again, let us pray for you. We have what's called SOS Partners, and that's where you can sign up and be a monthly supporter if you like. We need all the support we can get. We got a golf tournament coming up. Thank you, on April 13th. And these men at this table can tell you how you can get involved with that. Thank you. I love this church. Aunt Peggy, Uncle Lester, we love you. Thank you. I just want to honor teachers while they're here. You guys are phenomenal, phenomenal servants of the kingdom of God. And we just thank you. Thank you for coming in and pouring into us. We love you so much. Thank you, church. I thought it was just a pleasure to be able to bring my stepfather and my daughter to this church. I said, you're going to love it. It's like a little house. You're going to walk through a kitchen when you get in. It's just so cool to me. And it's not just because of the building, though. It's the people that make this church special. The people make this church special. So thank you for allowing them to witness a different kind of church environment. You guys are amazing. We love you. Thank you for allowing us to come here. God bless you. Hallelujah.
Thank you. Thank you and all you guys. Yeah. Can you handle a question or two?
I can handle a question or two.
Okay. And I haven't warned them ahead of time what this group might ask. So, Ray, you have a question? Anyone? No? Okay. Wow, okay. Okay, Debbie has one. I'm going to run the microphone back over there.
Debbie on the mic.
Do they also have a program, say, for girls that are...
They do. It's not affiliated with Loving Hands Ministries, but we do. There are multiple women's facilities, if you want to call it, in Manatee County. We have Prodigal Daughters. We have His Girls. And if you guys are interested in that, we can definitely have you call the ministry. We would love to direct any of your loved ones that are females to those programs, because they are truly blessings for the community, for the women, big time.
And I know the folks from His Girls, so, you know, I can make a contact for you if need be. And anyone else? Anyone else? Okay.
Thank you for making it easy. No, you're not allowed to ask questions. Uh-oh, she's got one.
Okay.
She's got one. Are you loud?
Wait a second.
Do you guys have, like, a housing limit and, like...
We can hold up to... We can hold up to 15. We like to keep it to around maybe 10 because we like intimacy. 12 at the most, because we like to keep it biblical too, you know, 12 disciples. But we don't want to get too big, because we feel like it loses something in that. That's why we have multiple campuses, so we can spread these men out. And, you know, I've been part of big rehabs and stuff, and you're just a number, you know.
You said you had the women and the girls ministry thing too?
Yes, ma'am.
Do you allow people to come in and volunteer time, like teach them how to sew, do crafts, crochet, and stuff like that?
We can. For the women you're talking about?
I'm willing to do it.
Yeah, and he can help you, because but we can too. We can give you some phone numbers and stuff like that if you need. He's the number guy over here. We always got suits that need to be.
Hang on. Let me get your microphones.
What is your success rate?
Our success rate is 70% to 80% for men who do the entire 2 years and graduate the program. Hallelujah. Good question.
Okay. And let me put that in context. Right. A friend of mine, he's passed a few years ago. He was involved with AA for over 30 years, right? Mm. And one day I asked him, I go, well, what's the long-term success rate of AA? 11%. And that's known as the gold standard. Mm-hmm. So what's happening at Loving Hands is really noteworthy.
Right on.
I want to share a verse real quick here. Yeah. Yes, please do. I'm sorry. Old man's privilege, I get to sit. I think we saw something here today, right? In Romans 6, verse 23, it's one that we're familiar, right? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord, right? And that we've all seen what happens with sin in that in our lives. And yet we know the answer, right? The gift of God, eternal life in our Lord and Savior. And that, but it occurs to me that one reason that God hates sin is that it hurts his kids. It hurts his children, right? It hurts the person who's sinning. It hurts all the people around them. And that's true for each and every one of us. And when we're sinned against, we need to be prepared to forgive. And I think the Lord, Anthony tells me that the Lord gave him something on forgiveness this morning. So, Anthony, you want to come on up?
Thank you. To start off, last night about 4:15, I had a dream, and basically it was those who've known my our brother Dana is in Bolivia. He's a does ministry there, and my dream basically just went that we had a rift, we had an argument or something like that, and we parted ways, and we didn't settle the disagreement. Okay, which is all just in the dream because we're great together, but what it did is it affected his ministry and what he was doing in Bolivia. And I asked myself, Lord, what are you telling me with this dream? What's going on here? And it came down to, I think, of forgiveness, okay? In the church, strife and forgiveness, I think, is a really a major thing that we have a hard time dealing with, and it splits churches, it splits families. You know, we could easily say, you know, the two things that God has asked of most of us is love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, okay, and love people, all right? How easy is it for God, for us to love God? We can find it pretty easy for us to love God, right? Can we find it easy for God to love us? Okay, even with our sins, as bad as we can be, the most horrible things that we can be, okay, or things that we have done, we expect God to come to us and forgive us if we come to him. And he says he will, okay, no matter how bad those things are. Well, what about people? We're expected to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. Is it that easy to do? It seems to be a lot harder to do when we want to love our neighbors, okay, if we're offended, all right, especially in the church. I think when it comes to Christians, we set these high expectations. Well, he's a Christian man. He shouldn't have done that. Or he should have came to me and asked for forgiveness. And we start judging them, okay? And we could take a lot of offense of what a fellow Christian brother and sister can do to us, or family. Those who know us can, you know, hit their things hit deeper than maybe a stranger can offend us, okay? And it's not that easy for us to forgive them. Sometimes we're pretty hard on them. Well, if we're judging someone that we're supposed to love, that God commands us to love them, and we judge them harshly, are we expecting anything less from God judging us just as harshly, all right, as his son and daughter, as far as what we do in our lives? Okay, and it just kind of hit me, you know, this is the problem that we have sometimes with each other and within the church. We get offended easy. Things don't go our way, we walk away. We run. We take off. We can't forgive. Oh, I could, you know, I'll forgive, but I won't forget. Well, Jesus forgets our sins, didn't he? Didn't he die on the cross and forgets us as far as the east is from the west? So how can we say, you know, statements like that? We could forgive, but we can't forget. But God forgets our sins. I would hate for God. I had a similar background as some of you gentlemen. I would hate for God to remind me of my past and my sin, okay, all the time I mess up. There you go again, Anthony. There you go again. You know, remember, the devil will go ahead and remind you of your faults, okay? The devil can't be in more than one place at one time, all right? He could whisper in your ear, and I said before, he could whisper in your ear. He could tempt you. He can lie to you. He could deceive you, okay? But you ultimately make your own choices in life. All right, and the choices come to point of forgiveness, you know. And maybe it came down to having it today with some of you, all you men here today, okay? Because I'm sure you're being taught that God forgives you for your past, okay? But I'm sure there's a lot of people in your lives that you hurt through different things. And you may have a time that God puts on your mind to where you're going to have those people to forgive you if you haven't already in your life, you know. or you're going to expect someone to that owe you a forgiveness. And we could blame shift a lot. Well, I wouldn't have went this direction if my mom didn't do drugs. Or I wouldn't went this direction if I had a mother and father both in the household that wouldn't have been homeless. And we could, look, we make our own choices. I'm not knocking anybody. But we could easily blame shift everyone else and have unforgiveness towards things. And I think the greatest thing that we need to have in our lives as Christians is having that peace. There's a difference between happiness and having peace. And we could find peace when we have that clear slate that we have forgiven those we offended. All right, and the biggest thing is, it came to me, which is a bigger blessing for us to forgive someone or we, it's backwards, us forgiving someone or someone forgiving us, is there a bigger blessing? I think it's harder for us to forgive someone else if we got offended, but we'll expect the opposite. See what I'm saying? Kind of a thing. So I guess it's all I'm really saying today. It's just really seek your heart. If there's someone in your lives that you need to go say, I apologize to, do that. Time is getting short. And humbling ourselves, whether we think we were right in the situation or not, eat a little crow. We may have to go ahead for and make the best of the situation just to have peace in our lives and peace in other people's lives. So that's it.
I'm going to add on to that. I've been blessed to pray with a lot of people over the years, right? And most often, it's because either they committed sin against someone or someone committed a sin against them. And the biggest stumbling block towards peace and a walk with the Lord is unforgiveness. Mm-hmm. And it's absolutely true. And that's so Anthony's right. If you have someone that you need to forgive, by all means, forgive them and that, because if you don't, you've given them free rent in your head and that. And if you've done something that where you should go and apologize to someone and ask their forgiveness, do it. Whether they forgive you or not, that's up to them and that, but you've done the right thing. Okay, want to thank the Loving Hands guys. Can we have okay. Our grill masters are going to bring in the hot dogs and burgers shortly. Okay, here's roughly how things are set up. There's the short table has the plates and the tableware. Right behind it will be the burgers and hot dogs. Beside that are the drinks. The next two rows are all the sides, and then the desserts are in the back. That's where you'll find me. Why don't we all stand and ask a blessing on the meal? Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. Lord, you feed us so generously, Lord. You've fed our souls for the last hour and a half, Lord God, with amazing stories of how you've changed lives and how you're continuing to change lives and how you're willing to change our lives as we step forward, Lord. You've provided nourishment for our bodies as well, Lord. You've provided a church body that loves on each other. And that's so, Lord, I ask now that you just bless this food to our bodies, Lord. Let us use the energy to bring glory to your name. All God's children said.
Amen. Amen.